Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this encouraging and this exciting text that we read. God, we just anticipate what you've got for us this morning because we want to hear from heaven. We want to hear about these blessings. We've been challenged already this morning in our giving and how to receive blessings already. And God, we just want to have the blessings that come from you. God, so work in our hearts. Help us to be obedient to what is preached and apply it in our lives. Now, Father, for this task to occur, we need you to anoint our pastor with your Holy Spirit power as he comes. Use him to help us. And Father, help anyone that's in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray if they don't this morning, they would settle the matter of accepting Christ as their Savior today before they leave. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, remind you that there is a special curse attached to those whose cell phone goes off during the service and we hear it. So we want to make sure that you turn it off, okay? Otherwise, now listen, here's what happens. The next time your cell phone goes off, you're going to pick it up and you'll have lockjaw and you won't be able to talk. See, that's okay, I text, then you'll have locked fingers and you won't be able to text either. It'll be disgusting. You'll feel so detached from life. So make sure it's off now or turn to vibrate. Help us there, please. We have been these last several weeks preaching about heaven. We have learned that there are two heavens, the heaven that is and the heaven that will be. The heaven that is a paradise of God where our loved ones go. The moment they depart this life, absent from the body, present with the Lord, they're in heaven now. The heaven that will be is a city that Jesus has been preparing. It's a city four square, 1,500 miles high, wide, and deep. It's a magnificent place. That place of heaven, the new heaven. They'll never know a moment of sin or sorrow or sadness. When we go to that place called heaven, you have a place prepared for you there. Jesus promised us that. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there, you may be also. And for 2,000 years, he's been preparing a place for you. We know heaven is a place where we lay aside the burdens and the struggles of this life. We know heaven is a place of reunion. We know heaven is a place where the Bible says we shall see his face. We know heaven is a place where we get to see our loved ones that were saved and gone on before us. They're waiting for us there. That place of heaven, the new heaven, we'll join together and we'll stay there forever. There's no end to heaven. No end. It is eternal life. No more separation, no more goodbyes. Often I think maybe God just takes goodbye out of our vocabulary because we don't need it any longer. There is one more thing about heaven that we need to cover this morning. And it doesn't have anything to do with the heaven that is or the heaven that will be. It has to do with the heaven that is here. Look in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 this morning again, please. Look at this statement. And I want you to keep your Bibles open now. We're going to go to another passage in just a second, one page over actually. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us," now look at this statement, "who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." That's not the place that we'll be. He's talking about here. Go to chapter 2 and look at verse number 6 now. He mentions it again. Same book, one page over as it were. chapter 2 and verse 6, unless you got a super large print, about 9 pages over. Chapter 2 and verse 6, and it says, well, go to verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's talking about here. See, Pastor, are you saying that heaven's here on earth? I didn't say that. I said on this earth there are prepared for us heavenly places. Look at me. Places that are a lot like heaven, that have heavenly type qualities to them while we're here on earth. Now look at me. I don't want a heaven on earth. You understand that? I don't. If this is heaven, if this earth right here, right now, the way life is, if this is heaven, you got a lousy, stinking heaven, pal. I don't want anything to do with that, all right? Life's good, God's blessings. Matter of fact, we'll talk about one of those heavenly places in a moment. But the truth is, no, the heaven that is the one I want to go to. The heaven where Jesus is. I want to be there. That's the heavenly place. But on this earth, he talks about some spiritually speaking, heavenly places that are here. See, Pastor Johnson, are you trying to tell me that the auction yard in Cottonwood is a heavenly place? Well, the restaurant is. They got great biscuits and gravy. I can tell you that right now. But no, the truth of the matter is, I'm not talking about a physical location. No, though if we are careful and we understand the heavenly place where God is, that he has prepared for us. Now listen, and the attributes that are there, that's what he's talking about. Some of those are here now. Here's what people think. Well, okay, fine. So there's this place called heaven, and you get saved, and we're going to heaven, and that's someday out there somewhere. But what about now? That's kind of what he's implying here. No, not even kind of. That is what he's telling us. He's telling us that right here, right now, in this life, there can be places, situations in your life that are very heavenly. Strawberries are coming. You know what that means. Strawberry shortcake is coming. And homemade ice cream. Not that nasty stuff in the box. I don't care who makes it. The store-bought stuff is okay, even if you pay $22 for a half a gallon of it, because it was massaged by Danish people named Haagen-Dazs. There's nothing that comes close to homemade ice cream. My mouth's watering. And you take, I don't even mind those little spongy cake things you buy in the store, those cheapo jobs. Those are okay, but real good homemade shortcake. It's got the little sweet, little salty, you know what I'm talking about? Some of you Yankees, you have no idea what I'm talking about this morning. Homemade shortcake. You take a slab of that and put it in the bottom of a bowl, and you put a whole bunch of ice cream either on that or you put a whole bunch of strawberries on top of there with a little bit of sugar, maybe 3 or 4 cups. And the strawberries, you get the juices flowing, those red sweet juices off those strawberries. Now, I always put mine on top of the shortcake because that way it starts to soak into the bread. Then you put the ice cream on top of that, and then you put real whipped cream on top of that. Not that nasty squirt stuff out of the can that gets you high when you smell it. Not that stuff. The real stuff that's made. You squirt. Now, some of you go home and start sniffing whipped cream. Now, don't you do that. But the truth is, then you put that on top of that, and maybe a cherry or some nuts or something. Then you just scoop down through there, and you hit the whipped cream, the nuts, the cherries, the ice cream, these strawberries, and the now soaked up shortcake. Even that's not a heavenly place, but it's close. Now listen, what is he saying when he says heavenly places here? He's saying if you know about heaven, he says there's some things a lot like heaven you can have here on earth. In heaven, we'll have fellowship with God. Unhindered, unfettered fellowship with God. We talked about it last week, and we shall see his face. And the throne of God and the Lamb is there, the Bible says. And we'll have unhindered fellowship, unfettered fellowship with God in heaven. You know what, dear people? Listen to me. Do you realize that as much as that is true in heaven, that can also be true here on earth? Do you understand, dear friend? You don't have to wait to get to heaven to have fellowship with God. you can have fellowship with God here. Now, I understand it won't be exactly like seeing God. If you see God now, it means your medication's a little too high. Or you had an In-N-Out burger with too many onions on it before you went to bed at night, something like that. But I mean, ladies and gentlemen, do you understand the idea, the whole concept of this thing about fellowship with God isn't something to have someday. You can have fellowship with God today. And nothing between your soul and your Savior today. Where everything's all right. And by the way, it's never all right until everything's all right between you and the Creator of this universe. And when it is, everything is all right. Trust me. And you don't have to wait to heaven to get that. You can have that now. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20 to that church of Laodicea, He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." He told this church they were so busy with themselves and their life that he was locked out on the outside, and here's Jesus talking to a so-called Christian church and telling them, "I'm standing out here knocking on the door. Would you open the door, please? Hear my voice and open the door. I will come in. I will sup with you." And you fellowship. But you understand, dear people, God has done everything He can do to make fellowship with God, have fellowship with God. He's done all His part now. That's why Christ came and died. Jesus died to provide us fellowship with our God. He's paid the sin debt, so there is no wall of partition between us. There is no separation between you and God if Christ is your Savior. You have open fellowship with God today. "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You can talk to God and He'll hear you. You can have fellowship with God and He'll walk with you. But the hindrance to fellowship in this life with God is not His side, it's ours. "Hey, behold, I stand at the door and knock." That implies someone must open the door. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," that means someone must be listening to His word. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door." Any man, ladies and gentlemen, that's an any man promise. God wants fellowship with everyone, but you must open the door of that fellowship. You must be willing to receive Him. The painting that is most commonly associated with Revelation 3:20. There's actually two paintings, a very ancient one that's not seen very often. But the one that's most familiar, probably you have seen that, is a facade, or as it were, a face of a front of a house with an arched doorway. And Jesus standing there with a lantern with His hand raised like this. And the door is open slightly and you can see inside the house. And it's a picture depicting Revelation 3 and verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." When the man who painted that brought his friend in to have him look at the painting, he said, "What do you think of this painting?" And his friend said, "Well, that's Revelation 3:20. It's obvious. The Lord's standing there, knocking at the door. Someone's opening the door." And the man who was the artist said, what do you think of my painting?" He said, "It's beautiful. And it's so clear that that's the Lord knocking at the heart's door and wanting us to..." And he said, "Good." He said, "Do you like it?" And he said, "You know, I only have one maybe question." He said, there's no handle on the outside of the door." And the artist said, "That's on purpose. That door has to be opened from the inside. It's a heavenly place when there's fellowship with God. You know that? Did you meet with Him this morning? Did you hear His voice? Open the Word of God. Let Him speak to you from the Bible. Did you talk to Him? "Behold," He said, "I stand at the door and knock." Do you realize that every day of your life, Christian friend, that He stands at the heart's door of your life and He is knocking and He wants permission to step in? Not for salvation, He wants fellowship. "I will come in and sup with Him and He with me," Jesus said. If you'll just open the door, fellowship is yours. You can have that. And I guarantee you, it's a heavenly place, my friend. Do you know that fellowship with God? Or would you have to say this morning, first of all, most importantly, "Pastor Johnson, I don't even know if I'm a Christian. I'm not even sure that I'm saved." Hey, this whole thing in society today where people are setting their own terms for fellowship with God. Well, I meet with God the way I want to, and I have my own way, and I have this. Yeah, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You go God's way to God, or you don't go, period. That's all there is to it. So salvation, see, when I receive Christ as my Savior, I accept Him as my personal Savior by repentance and faith, and I trust Jesus to save me. The door of fellowship is open because I met God on His terms, not mine. Then once you become a Christian, do you ever notice how you can get so easily pushed out of the centerpiece of our life? How easily we can get so busy with the life we live that we forget who gave us the life to live? And before you know it, that's what shocks me about Revelation 3:20. He's stating that to a church. God help the day when Shasta Baptist Church has Jesus Christ standing outside the door knocking to get permission to come in here. But how about in your life? Huh? You got your fire insurance and you've run off with your life that He's given you and you have the hope of heaven and eternal life, and Jesus has no centerpiece in your life except for a couple minutes you give Him on a Sunday morning, you get up and go home. There is no fellowship with God. Do you understand why heaven is so unreal to even the child of God? Because, friend, it's a heavenly place when you walk with Him and talk with Him. And you have that unhindered fellowship with your God. That's heavenly places in Christ Jesus, where you spend time with Him. Christian, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God. Hey, you moved, He didn't. You stepped back, He didn't. He's always there. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. He wants you to take the step and get things right with Him and step toward fellowship with God. And when you do, He'll come to you also. Some of us this morning, we're the prodigal son. We're away from home, and the Father's eyes are watching the horizon, waiting for us to take that step from the hog pen to come back home. And when you do, my friend, He will run to you as the prodigal father did and fall on that sin-stained neck and kiss you and embrace you and bring you back to fellowship with Him again. That's a heavenly place. Heavenly places on this earth are heavenly places where God... Well, you know, in heaven, you ever notice how that in heaven in the Bible it tells us no one has any particular need in their life? Streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper. You live in a mansion, tree there with the fruits on it, bear different fruit every month. And trees for the healing of the nation. All this stuff is provided in heaven. All needs are taken care of in heaven. Wonderful thing. See, not here, Pastor Johnson. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't it interesting how God's ability to supply our need is not hindered by economic situations? Look, folks, if He can feed about 4 million people out in the desert with no stores and no way to stop and grow a crop, if He could feed them every day with bread in the morning and every evening with quail and water from a rock and take care of them for 40 years, 4 million people, do the economics on that one and figure out how much it would take to feed that many people that much every day for 40 years in the wilderness. I suppose God could take care of us in the middle of a bad economy. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, I'm waiting on that one, preacher. Let me tell you something. When does that ship come down to my port? When you are obedient to Him in the areas of your life. Here's the thing. See, Philippians says, my God shall supply all your need. It didn't say needs. It says need, singular. It means need, the greatest need you have in your life. Isn't it fascinating? We think what we need is a better economic situation. God says, no, what you need is to get right with God and I'll bless your economic situation. So He convicts us instead. And then we think, well, that isn't what I wanted. No, but it's what you needed. Come on. Your parents, how many of you had parents who spanked you when you were growing up? Spanked you. Raise your hand. Look at all these tortured people out here today. God bless you. Isn't that horrible? Huh? You were just abused. Mistreated. Yeah. Remember what they told you when they got ready to spank you? Huh? Now, son. Yeah. Remember that? Remember looking at them going, I don't believe that for a minute. My mom used to say, I don't want to have to do this. Well, then how about it, Mom? What do you say? Well, I'm okay with not doing that too. What do you say? That'll be good with me. Now, son, I know you're not going to appreciate it, but later on you will appreciate this. And this is what you need. And I always thought, need? Man, I don't need that. I just punched my brother in the head. What's the big deal? I don't need that. He needs ice on his head. I don't need a spanking. What's up? I don't need. How do I need that? How do I need this? Isn't it fascinating how parents didn't know what we needed? What was our greatest need? You understand? Now, you could take Philippians 4 and you can run out and try to figure out how that economically will advantage you. Or you can take the concept of my God supplies my greatest need. If I'm in the will of God, whatever it is He brings to my life, that's my greatest need. And I needed that. Thanks. I needed that. But unfortunately, that's the way you should look at it. Hey, listen to me. And to be honest with you, it's a heavenly thing to be on the side of God's provision in your life. Whether it's material or emotional or spiritual or whatever it may be, I guess I needed that. You must have. If I'm in the will of God, I needed that. I didn't need a flat tire. Yes, you did. Apparently, something must come. You needed that. That's why it was there. I didn't need to lose my job. I didn't need to have trouble with my health. I didn't need these things in my life. No, you didn't want that, but it must have been something that you needed. And ladies and gentlemen, if we can see the hand of God providing us what we need in our lives, that's just like heaven. Well, that makes it a heavenly place. No, I don't always understand why God does what He does. And I don't always understand the way God does what He does. But I know this. He makes no mistakes. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know, a heavenly place, when you get to heaven, you get to a place where there's perfect peace and rest. Okay, preacher, now there's none of those on this earth. Nowhere. Absolutely none. Perfect peace and rest on this earth. Our grandchildren are here. 5, 4, and a 2-year-old. There is no perfect peace and rest in our house. Mom and Dad are in Costa Rica on a mission trip. And we have a 5, a 4, and a 2-year-old. Only time there's perfect peace is when they're perfectly asleep. Other than that... And no perfect peace. None. Just about the time you think you got it under control. It's like trying to keep 15 corks under the water at the same time. They'll go back Thursday. As soon as they leave, my wife will blop on the couch. I'll hit the recliner. And we'll just lay there and go. And then about 20 minutes into it, I'll tell my wife, listen. Listen. She'll say, oh, quit that. And I go, listen. Peace and quiet. But Isaiah says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why do you think the Bible records all those times where the disciples were in a storm and Jesus calmed the storm? Because Jesus is a weatherman. You got to be kidding me. You crippled too high for crutches, Spanky. Are you out of your mind? Why do you think God put that in the Bible? Because Jesus calms the storms of life. He says, peace be still, and the waves lay down, and the wind blows soft. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness. And even in the midst of the storm, He can provide peace. Only God can do that. Now, heaven's peace is perfect. But this one here on this earth, let me tell you something. You learn, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Jesus said. Your problem is you're trying to pull the load by yourself. How foolish is that? That load will break you down. It'll crush you out sometimes. It'll be greater than you can possibly deal with. Forget that statement. God never gives you more than you can handle. Yes, He can, and yes, He will. But He'll never give you more you and He can't handle. You come in the yoke with the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll pull with you, my friend. And in the midst of the swirling troubles of this life, He speaks peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Oh, be careful for nothing, but in everything by worrying constantly, fretting incessantly, worrying all the time, always upset, not in the stomach, ulcers in the esophagus, everything's messed up, life is good. No, I think it's be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Oh, yeah, you got to pray. No, that's how you look at it. No, keeping your mind stayed on the Lord is, and you got right in the midst of the storm. The disciples would run to the Lord. See, it's that one account where they come and Jesus is down inside the ship and he's asleep. And when the Bible says, and then the waves lapped over into the ship and they're bailing it out, it's not working. Finally, they run down and they say, Lord, cares not that we perish. But the Bible says, when the ship was now full, they waited till it was full. Knee deep would have been good for me. No. When it's full, the thing is about to sink, then they run to Jesus. We've got a lot of disciples like that today. Wait till the boat's full. Wait till it's about to go under, till it's all over and said and done, and they got no hope whatsoever. And then it's, help me, Lord Jesus, help me. A man fell off a cliff one day, 2,000 feet, about 1,000 foot down, there's a branch sticking out. Boop! He grabbed onto it. 1,000 feet down, 1,000 feet up. Help me. Is anybody up there? Help me. Lord, if you can hear me, help me. God speaks from heaven. Do you trust me, my son? Yes, I trust you. Let go. Anybody else up there? We're hanging out there at 1,000 feet with no hope for nothing. Ask God to help us. And he says, here's what I want you to do. Can you try something else, please? Don't wait till the boat's full. Don't wait till there's no hope. Don't wait. You say, can't God fix that? Yes, he can do any amazing stuff in the world. But don't you understand the mess you make, he's going to help you come out of that. He's not going to make it disappear. Don't you understand? I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You keep your mind on God, your hope in God, your confidence in God. You pray and trust God, and you do what God tells you to do. Then, most troublesome times in your life, he speaks peace to the storm and the waves come down. And that's a heavenly place. You know that? Right in the middle of the battle is raging, God speaks peace. Right where the storms are pounding about your life, God speaks peace. And you know what? It's a lot like heaven. Heaven is a place where we have a great reunion and we get to see and be with God's people. Oh, you mean when I get a chance to be with the people of God, it can be like a heavenly place? Now, please understand, that heavenly place area is kind of limited in this life, because in heaven, we'll have a memory clean. There'll be a memory crash. No one will remember anything about each other. We have that still here, the memory thing. And everybody will be perfect in heaven. We don't have that here either. But the good thing is, none of us are perfect. So that's okay, isn't it? You perfectionists. Everybody has to be exactly like you or it doesn't work. You know how boring life would be if everybody was just like you? But here, right here on this earth, we can have fellowship with God's people. Sure thing. In heaven, the memory, when God wipes our memory clean, it's to enable us to forgive like he forgives. But you can still forgive on this earth. Some of you, you need to lay it down. Lay down that stuff you have with other people and just go ahead and get the grace of God on you. Grant them the forgiveness they need and get on with life. You know that? And I'll tell you something, my friend. You talk about a heavenly place. Well, I know a lot about people, Pastor Johnson, and we know a lot about you. You ever fire me, I'm writing a book about all the stuff I know about the people in this church. And I'm going to publish it with your picture next to your name so people know what you look like when they see you. Yeah, I got the goods on you. You think that's what I see when I look at you? No. I see the work of the grace of God. That's what I see. It's a heavenly place when we settle up with each other. Your families, you need to settle up with one another by the grace of God. As best as you can, you live peaceably with all men as much as lieth in you. Hey, look at me. It's a heavenly place when things are right with each other. Well, as soon as they get right, Pastor, even if they're not going to be right about what they do, my heart is still going to be right about them. You hear me? I'm not asking you to accept the wrong that they do or condone it, and definitely don't finance it and help it. But my heart toward them can still be right. Even toward people who hurt me and do me wrong, I can still be right toward them. And guess what? That's like a heavenly place, because everything is okay right here. It's all good. You see, there are heavenly places right here on this earth. There are. I don't really necessarily think it's a location, but if you're right where you are, that makes that place a heavenly place. He has blessed us, the Bible said, in all heavenly places. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning, would you?